Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We're reading from Fazali Amal, chapter of the virtues of the glorious Quran. Hadith number 6. Hazrat Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The example of a mu'min who reads the Quran is like that of a citron type of orange, which has a nice smell and a sweet taste. The example of a mu'min who does not read the Quran is like that of a date, a khajur, which has no smell, but its taste is sweet. The hypocrite, one who pretends to be a Muslim who does not read the Quran, is like a wild gourd, a bitter fruit, which has a bitter taste and no smell. And the hypocrite who reads the Quran is like a rayhan, a sweet smelling flower, which has a good smell but has a bitter taste." In this hadith as well, this example was given just to make us understand the difference between reading and not reading the Quran. Otherwise, it is obvious that the things of this world, like citrons and dates, cannot match the sweetness and fragrance and fragrance and fragrance of the Quran Sharif. Hadith number 7. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Allah Ta'ala gives honor to many people because of the Quran, and He also disgraces many people because of the Quran." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Allah Ta'ala gives honor to many people because of the Quran, and He also disgraces many people because of the Quran." People who believe in the Quran and practice it are given honor and respect by Allah, both in this world as well as in the hereafter, while those who do not act upon it are disgraced by Allah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Allah misleads many with this Quran and guides many with it." Some ulama have mentioned, as soon as a person starts reading a surah of the Quran, the angels start making dua of mercy for him, and they continue to do so till he stops reading. On the other hand, another person starts reading a surah, and the angels start cursing him, and they continue to do so till he completes his reading. Sometimes a person brings the curse of Allah Ta'ala on himself whilst reading the Quran without him even knowing. For example, a person has the habit of speaking lies. Now he reads the ayat of the Quran, "La'natullahi ala al-kazibin," "Beware, the curse of Allah is upon the liars." So in reality, he is cursing himself because he himself speaks lies. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the Quran cursing us, and may He make it a means of our guidance. Amen. Reading from the Kitab Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquette, of the many aspects which make up our social life, the important principles. One principle, we have done 4 already, and there are 7 principles. Number 1, not causing harm to others. Number 2, fulfillment of rights. Number 3, foregoing of one's rights and forgiveness. Number 4, honoring and serving one another. And today, number 5, simplicity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Simplicity is part of iman. Simplicity is part of iman, Abu Dawud. When a person adopts simplicity, it becomes easier to fulfill the rights of others. And one is safe from jealous eyes. Simplicity should be adopted in our dressing, homes, vehicles, marriages, and funerals. Reading from the etiquette of training children. Number 21. Nowadays people rear their children like cows. They are well fed and fattened. The end of the fattened cow is the slaughterhouse. People feed their children well, adorn them and rear them in luxury. The ultimate end of such children is hellfire. Parents have no time to morally train their children. No religious education is imparted to them. More importance is given to secular studies, extracurricular activities and sports. Quality time must be spent with the children. It is not only the responsibility of the imam or molana to teach one's children Islamic knowledge. It is first the parents' duty. Just as time is allocated for everything else, time must daily be allocated for teaching and training one's children. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No father has ever given a child a gift that is more superior to good manners than good manners. Number 22, Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi states, "I am always advising that during school holidays, children who are attending school school should be left in the company of the Ahlullah, the pious. Even if they do not perform salah there, at least their ideas and beliefs will be rectified. 23. One of the primary duties of a parent is to ensure that his child is given sound, solid knowledge of Islam. All matters, especially beliefs, must be taught in such a manner that it is firmly grounded, so that it does not fall into doubt. Number 24. Parents must keep a watch on the company of his children. If the child keeps good company, then there is strong hope the child will remain on the right path. If, on the other hand, wrong company is kept, the child will easily be spoiled, even if the child originally had good habits. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Carrying on from our talk of yesterday, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, announcing to the whole of mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'atkum maw'izatum min rabbikum. A maw'iza, a wa'az, a nasihat, advice has come to you from your creator, your sustainer, your nourisher, and to whom you are going to return again finally. And we discussed that there were two types of lecturers, which it comes in the hadith. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, I've left my ummah. One is a silent lecturer, and that is the Qabristan. And we should try and make a habit of regularly visiting the Qabristan also. Not only when there is a funeral, but like particularly on a Friday, we should try and visit the Qabristan, and then take the lessons from there. That so many we read in the hadith that if these people, if they could say one subhanallah, they would appreciate it so much. And now we have the time, and we should appreciate this time. Once that moment of death comes, then a person can't do anything whatsoever. And one subhanallah is so great and so valuable in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is narrated that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was whatever Allah Ta'ala had given him, so much Allah Ta'ala had given him, and at that time he is what we will call more bigger than a jumbo jet also, and he was flying with the jinnat, every one of his army, and the birds making a shade for him on top, and one person on the ground saw it, and he said, Subhanallah, that what Allah Ta'ala has given Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Amongst the other things also, which Allah Ta'ala had blessed Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave him that he could hear that Subhanallah. Where he was, he heard it. So he made his, so to say, what we will call his aeroplane to land there, without a landing strip or anything, without any from the airport, how they guide the aeroplane, the pilot, etc. He landed, and he asked the person, "What did you say?" He was surprised and he was shocked. So he said, "I only said Subhanallah." So he said, "In what? In amazement of what Allah has given you. What Allah has given you." So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Your Subhanallah is more valuable than all this what I have got. All this is going to perish, it's going to get finished, and compared to the ni'mat and the things in Jannat, this cannot even compare with that." So one Subhanallah is so great. But once a person is in the qabr, then there are people, what we read, that what they really liked in this world, Allah granted it for them in the qabr. Like, for example, our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, should always make dua, that, oh Allah, if you can grant this wish of mine, that I have a hips class in the qabr. Like that, many other people also, what they were seen making namaz in the qabr, making tilawat in the qabr, etc. All that is there, but no sawab for it. Sawab is here while just at this moment. There, what they make, it's also narrated, they make dua also for the living people. But there is no reward for it. That is here. So we should take a lesson once the time will come, then we won't be able to get any rewards. This is the time to accumulate our whole life. And the month of Ramadan is even a more greater time. And we should appreciate this month even much, much more greater. and try and do as much as we can. So that we should go to the Qabristan and take these lessons, and we should think about it also. One interesting point that our Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi said, that a person who remembers death often, and it comes in the riwayat 25 times, etc., then he will get the maut, or the death of a shaheed. But Hazrat explained this in a very beautiful way. Hazrat doesn't mean say that you just say maut. You are remembering death. Similarly also, though they are those du'as, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut, that is also you remembering maut two times in there. Allahumma a'inna ala ghamarati al maut wa sakarati al maut. Oh Allah, help us on the sakarat and the difficulties and hardships of maut. But that is not the thing. What is the muraqabah that we have to make of thinking of maut? That we think that now malakul maut has come. And we think also in which form he has come. Has he come in the form of rahmat and mercy? Why has he come in the form of azab and punishment? And then nobody knows that at that time we will know how malakul maut had come to us. And then after that, now I'm finished with dunya. Everything is cut off. Yeah. Hazrat says in one poem, that how the times have changed, that the people took me to the Qabristan and they buried me, and after that they didn't make salam to me also, and they didn't speak to me also, my own children, my own brothers also. Perhaps just a few hours before we were talking, having tea together, we were discussing, but now they put, and they did not even make salam, and they are gone. They have left me. So how the world has changed now. So like that, we think that when that time will come, then everyone will just... All this is that muraqabah of maut. And whatever I was doing, everyone thinks, I'm in the middle of my cause, I'm in the middle of my business, whatever it is, but that time will come and everything will be finished. And then when I'm in buried, I'm left alone whatsoever, completely. There is nobody with me now. People that I had lots of security in the world, I should get a card of honor, respect and honor. Now, nothing like that. I'm just lying here. And for that, you should also, like for example, many homes have got a passage. If we just close the doors, and we just walk in that passage, that little passage, and we just think of maut. One day, this passage is still so comfortable, so spacious, and the qabr is not that whole qabr also. One person wrote very beautifully to his son, that when I will be buried, then after that, they put that planks here by us, different places, they got different system. We put, so just that small little place you got. And in that also, that little section they open, in there they put you. And that is where, that your only space that you will have. And then he writes that soon this planks will also become old, and they will also rot, and all that sand will fall on me now. Mm-hmm. So we have to think of all that, then what we will go through in the qabr. Munkar, Nakir will be coming. What will be that? We must try and think of it. This is what is this muraqabah of maut, and this is what it means to remember maut. And we think of all that stages, what will happen to us there, and when they will come, and in what condition they come, and then they will question us, and how they will question us, how serious it will be, and so all this, yes. Then after that, the garden is either, the grave is either a garden of the gardens of Jannat, and that will be till the day of Qiyamah. How long we will be in that barzakh life, in that life of the qabr, for how long we will be there. And then, or it will be a pit from the pits of Jahannam. And here also, the punishments and azab. When we read in the kitabs, the malaika, the angels who come, with what hammers they come, and they hit a person but they don't hear him or he's screaming, they don't have any pity for him. Those malaika who are of that type of the azab, they have no pity on that person whatsoever, and this will carry on. Allah save us all. And this, so if a person thinks about all this, what will happen there? My family, I left my children alone, now there is nobody for them. All this a person thinks, this will help tremendously to correct a person's life. So if we think of mort regularly like this, not just that we just say one day I have to die, mort is going to come. Today we go to the Qabristan also, we bury a person, but how many of us really take a lesson for us? We went and fulfill our rights, the rights of a fellow Muslim brother, or customarily, it was my duty to go, it's my brother-in-law, it's my uncle, or whoever. But really, to take that lesson, and we read how many instances we are reading in the kitabs, that the people, when they take them to the Qabristan, what lessons they take. We read about, most probably it was Hazrat Abu Darda, radiyallahu ta'ala. Or one of the our great elders, that when a janaza was going, and somebody asked, whose janaza? And he said, it's your janaza. And if you don't like it, it's my janaza. What meant thereby? This is not the time to be discussing all, even just this, that whose janaza is it? And that also is not a thing to be discussed. But, yeah, at this time, we must, and when we become concerned of that person, what he's going to. And today, seldom people think of that. Like commonly, we even talk about death, kicking the bucket, like we're not serious about it. If I kick the bucket, if he kicks the bucket, then what? But something very, very serious that a person must think about it all the time. And we then, together with that, we think of our brothers, family, people who are in the qabr. For how long they are there, what is happening in the qabr, nobody knows for sure what that life is. Only Allah Ta'ala knows what's going there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how we should sit at a qabr and cry for so much. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, it is famous, his beard used to become wet, the ground should become wet when he should think about the qabr. So we should take that lesson from there. And then the Quran Sharif is a maw'idha from Allah Ta'ala, and it is speaking all the time, right from the beginning, right to the end, the Quran Sharif is speaking to us. And it is a lecturer that you can hear his sound. The Quran Sharif, when we read it, it is giving us all the time, from the beginning to the end, it is giving us bayans also. And what bayans there in the Quran Sharif. And one of the miracles of the Quran Sharif is that if a person understands it or does not understand it, both ways he will gain closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Which is famous about Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he saw Allah Ta'ala in a dream, and he asked, what is the best way to get closeness to Allah Ta'ala? Allah said, by the Quran Sharif. He asked, by understanding or not understanding? Allah said, both ways. If we understand, of course, much, much more better we will benefit, much more greater we will benefit. And also, we will be able to tell other people of the message of the Quran, etc. But even if we don't understand, the Quran Sharif is that great, miraculous kitab of barakat and rahmat, that even if a person just reads it, and with that i'tiqad that it is the word of Allah, it will also have a profound effect on the heart of a person. The Quran Sharif fills the mind of a person, in which way you think. And to get our minds to think Islamically, to recite Quran Sharif, is very, very important. We find that our old people, they were not alims or anything, but their iman was very, very strong. For anything, they were so particular about everything, about speaking the truth, etc. Their iman was so strong because they had that great bond with the Quran Sharif. They had a great contact with the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif is that kitab that is giving us a bayan. So we should try and recite as much as we can with great respect and with great honor and with great feeling. We should recite Quran Sharif regularly. And it is further, shifa'ul lima fi sudur. It is a cure for all the diseases which are in the heart. If we read the Quran Sharif, for example, the pictures of Jannat, the Quran Sharif, how it spells it out, and what beautiful, then we should, amongst the adab of the Quran Sharif, at that time, we should make dua also in our heart, Ya Allah, you give us this beautiful garden. What namath in Jannat. And in so many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is shown what was there. And then, Jahannam on the other side. Wow, terrible that is. If a person considers that, inshallah, it will help him tremendously to correct his life, to focus properly in life. He goes through his whole life, but with that two pictures in the mind. And the full sirat, and Allah Ta'ala says, better says, that everyone will have to walk across full sirat. So much so it comes that when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she will be crossing, what a woman of modesty and shame she was, that Allah will order everyone to cast their gazes down. And she will cross at that time. So anyway, everyone will have to cross full sirat. And what a journey it will be. Over the fire of Jahannam. And if a person drops from there, then he drops into the fire. May Allah protect us. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say that we are walking full sirat in our life year. How we are living our life, that is how we will be crossing full sirat year. If from the commands of Allah and the commands of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam we are moving away, then how our life is here, that is how it is going to be there. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, once giving Hidayati Bayan, and now and then Hazrat should do this, he stood up from his chair, and he said, oh my beloved brothers, Jamaat brothers, it must not happen that on the day of Qiyamah, we are thrown into the fire of Jahannam, and the people who acted on what we told them, they are crossing, and we see they're crossing over full sirat and they're going to Jannat. Whereas we fell down. So this aman, may Allah bless us, forgive us for all our shortcomings, and that we try and make tawbah, correct ourselves, and we fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. While our breath is there, while we have opportunity, we should try and bring these things into our lives. So the Quran Sharif is a complete cure. Ulama have written, one of the major cures the Quran Sharif gives us is distinction between kufr and iman. That what is kufr and what is iman. And the more we will read and with this i'tiqad that it is the kitab of hidayat. If we just read it for sawab, we will get sawab. But right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And this is also important. May Allah bring us to that we realize that there is absolutely no doubt in the Quran Sharif. Other things, there can be a doubt. But in the Quran Sharif, there can be no doubt whatsoever. Today, many ayahs we read, but we have got doubts about it. The way the world is today, the way people talk today. Today we say so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so is saying this. But the Quran Sharif is completely what the Quran teaches. As Maulana Ridwan Sahib pointed out to us, that whoever is an unmarried woman, and she's a woman now, time for her to get married. She's of age, so get them married. We are worried that how is she going to cook? Maulana gave an example. Or how are we going to look after the wife? Allah said that He will make the means for them. So that yaqeen Allah Ta'ala gives us. Today with the environment and the mindset we have got, we will have a doubt on that ayat. Allah forgive us. So all these ayat of the Quran, every ayat that we would that yaqeen, and we have to build that yaqeen. And the Quran Sharif also builds that yaqeen. We go in Jamaat also, that yaqeen will get built. We said by the Ahlullah. And then that also will transfer and come off onto us. And we do our dhikr also regularly. But everything that we want this. So the Quran Sharif itself is also a great source of this hidayah. So we should try and relate to the Quran Sharif. And the more we read with that conviction, without any doubt, that this is a kitab from Allah Ta'ala, and how it has been preserved, right from that, from Allah Ta'ala, Lawh-e Mahfooz it was sent. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought wahi. What protection, if we go into the details, how much protection Allah Ta'ala gave. So the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says himself, Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikr. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we are the ones who are going to look after it until the day of Qiyamah. Allah will look after it. And really, it is not the Hafiz or the Qari or the Alim who looks after the Quran Sharif, but it is Allah who is looking after them by the barakat of the Quran Sharif. So this is a very great kitab. And that with that conviction and all the other adab which were read at the beginning or when reading Quran Sharif, and many ulama have written of the etiquette, the adab. One murid of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told us something was very close to Hazrat in Hazrat's khidmat, etc., khidmat, etc., khidmat, etc. Allahu Akbar, Allah grant us a bit of this. He says that Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, if he was reading Quran Sharif and by mistake he touched his leg, you'll even wash his hands again. That what this hands now, I must touch Quran Sharif. And today our adab of Quran Sharif, our etiquette and respect of the Quran Sharif, the word of Allah Ta'ala. And the more we have adab, the more we benefit. The less adab we have, the less we benefit. Just as I mentioned, which I just read recently also, that a person who reads any kitab, then imagine, think, meditate, that author of the kitab, like we're reading Fazail Amal, sometimes we'll just be reclining and we are reading, but take it as though the author is there in front of you. Now if Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali is in front of us, then with how much of adab and respect we will sit. So like that, with this also we should read. And also we should think, like all our other zikrs we make, etc., we are reading Durood Sharif, perhaps we are resting and reading Durood Sharif. But if we were in front of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much of adab we should have. We are making the tasbih of istighfar. And all this I'm saying, I'm addressing myself. And so Allah makes it comes into me. We are reading istighfar, durood sharif. But for example, we're resting on the pillow, perhaps the legs are also stretched out. Now a person who is asking for forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, and he's like this, he's reclining like this, resting, and he's asking for forgiveness. For any person you've been asking for forgiveness like this, he'll give you one extra slap. That if in this way you're asking me for forgiveness, or a person who's asking for a lift, and he's desperate, he has to get to his place. But he's lying there under a tree, very casually, and he makes a sign somewhat that I want a lift. Who's going to stop and give him a lift? We see the people when they are desperate, they want a lift, how they ask, and they like sort of running after the car, that I'm coming, please take me. And how sometimes they make their face. So all these adab. And really, when I say we, I mean me. We are still very far from it. So all this has to come into us. So all these adab. Anyway, Quran Sharif is the kitab of great adab also. That we have to have great, great respect of the Quran Sharif. And we read it with that also. And all Hazrat Shaykh's adab which are written, they are all for to put into practice, not only to read or to hear, or not just a little to pass time in Ramadan that we have a program and we are reading it. Allah give us tawfiq. to invite, bring that into our lives. Little bit. If in one Ramzan, just one point we could bring into our lives. One friend of ours told that when we mentioned that Ramzan is not to pass Ramzan, but what is gone, see, what have we taken so far? Eh? How much have we acquired? Take stock of ourselves. Already how many days are gone? What did I acquire? My level of Iman, my level of my Aqaid, have they improved? My Yaqeen on the Zaat of Allah, how much has that become stronger? My Namaz, has it improved? My everything else, how much of deen has come into my conviction that Islam and the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the only correct way, how much is that coming into us? And it is a month for ibadah, but not only for ibadah, more it is la'allakum tattaqoon, that we acquire the quality of taqwa. How much are we acquiring that? So all that we should see, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and all these insight qualities, may Allah Ta'ala bring them within us. As we today, Mufti Muhammad explained, that the heart has to be corrected. The heart, if that is corrected, the whole body will be corrected. And from the correction of the heart is zikrullah also, that we focus on the heart. And when we make our zikr also, we shouldn't do it half sleepy, etc. The muraqabas which are pointed out when we're making zikr, we should make those muraqabas also. What a great kalima, la ilaha illallah, Allah has given us. What power there is in the kalima. And the name of Allah, Allah, how great that is. So all this, Allah makes it that it comes into our hearts, and our whole body gets also corrected, and our lives are corrected. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.